Good morning and welcome to Sunday Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Today is the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. The worship program for this Mass can be found online at stpatrickscathedral.org/live. The celebrant for this Mass is the rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral, Father Enrique Salvo. As we begin this liturgy, we invite you to rise and to join in singing our entrance hymn, number 723 in the blue hardcover St. Michael hymnal found in the pews. Number 723, Praise We the Lord This Day.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Dear sisters and brothers, welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral and everyone that is united in this Holy Mass in so many places around the world. Let us begin by recalling our sins and asking our Lord to grant us His peace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Christ have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. The word of the Lord.
Blessed are they.
Water that yields its fruit in due season. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we had hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord.
And be glad, your reward will be great in heaven.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes towards his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and insult you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
the Beatitudes that we just heard in the Gospel of Luke, not only like in the Gospel of Matthew, say everyone that's going to be blessed when they are poor, persecuted, going through anything of suffering, especially in his name. But then he adds the woes. The woe unto you if you're rich, the woe unto you if you're laughing, the woe unto you if you are filled. Which at first glance, of course, might sound a bit scary because, it seems like he's like almost like punishing or cursing out anyone that has all of the blessings of life here on earth. But we have to remember that Jesus himself had friends that were wealthy, like, for example, St. Joseph of Arimathea, where he was buried in the tomb, a very powerful man that to the point that he was able to talk to Pilate. He was friendly and loved everyone in all walks of life. Of course, he was focused on the poor and the sick and the suffering, which is what he came to do. But he loved everyone, and he knew that everyone at some level had sufferings of their own. But he has to warn us, because the woe is not like, I curse you, or this is it for you, it's going to be downhill from here, especially after this life. The woe means watch out, be careful, let's be warned about what can happen when we have all of these things and we get distracted and we lose our sight of God. And before we delve more into it, it's important for us to also think about something that they say, and it's obvious, that a middle-class person living in the United States or any first world country is richer and wealthier and more comfortable than 99% of the population of the history of humanity. That means that if we're a middle class person here, that puts us in the 1% of humanity. So whenever we read anything in the Gospels about the rich, it's not like, well, that doesn't, I'm not really rich, so that's for other people. This is for all of us. There are people that are very poor in the world, but if a person lives comfortably in the United States, this is for all of us. Just think about it. Things we take for granted, like medicine and electricity and running water and controlling our temperature, not to mention that we can travel and we can go places and we can see the world, not to mention that we have a little computer in our pockets with us at all times in which we can access all of the information of the world's history at any given moment, things that in other ages only the most elite of people had access to, and here we all are. And we take it for granted many times. And in a way, we have to like have a blessing. No, it's a blessing, but we have to definitely hear these warnings of Jesus Christ. Because at the same time, these things that we can take for granted have also, in many ways, of course, we're very blessed and we have to thank God for many of those blessings. But let's look at the downside when we are not careful with what Jesus is telling us. We live in a world that is anxious. We are a very anxious culture. Doesn't that happen when we live in total fear of losing our attachments and not being able to keep up with them? We live in a world that is lonely. Doesn't that happen when we are so busy and distracted by material things that we forget to look at the others? We live in a world that many times forgets about God. And isn't that the greatest of all fears? That we make the things that are his blessings into idols that replace him. Something that has always been an issue throughout the history of humanity, but we have to know it's going to be much more of an issue for us in this day and age. So woe when we have all these things, because it means to watch out, open your eyes, and make sure that everything that we have is for his glory. So of course, there's always, he never just tells us anything without him being prepared to help us with. Of course, that's the first and foremost thing. And And first of all, it's good for us to know some of the teachings that we have in the spiritual treasures of the church throughout history about how to deal with things like riches and things like this. And of course, we have the model of St. Francis of Assisi, which some people are called to. Most of us aren't, not even as diocesan priests, which is basically to just go and give everything away and just live in poverty and providence. It's a vocation. It's a bit of a vocation of the life of poverty. But most of all, can always follow the guideline of St. Ignatius of Loyola. That fits all of us. And in that one, basically, St. Ignatius, and this is one of the premises of his exercises, and it's even one of his like most important saying, ad majorem Dei gloriam, which is to God all the glory, which means that the way that we apply that is that we take anything that we have, any blessing, whether it's a material blessing, whether it's a talent of sorts, that our personal gift that God has given us, whether it's the things that are good things in our lives, and as well as the problems that we face, our weaknesses, the struggles that we have, and we take it all. We take everything that we have, especially the things that we can control, and we ask ourselves in a very honest way, is this giving glory to God or not? And it makes all of the difference, because objectively, there's nothing wrong with money. Objectively, God wants us to have pleasures of this world. Look at what he gave us, what he created. There's nothing wrong objectively with honor or power or anything objectively. It's when we misuse these things that they become a problem. So, for example, something basic. Someone can have some money and they're going to make some improvements in their home. And one person is doing it and it's because they want their home to be a more welcoming place for their family and for the friends that come over, and want it to make a place in which people are comfortable and conversations happen, and of course prayer, and it's a place that basically we offer unto others. In a way, in a very important way, especially for someone that has a family and so on, that is giving glory to God, using it properly. If another person bought the exact same thing because they want to show off with their neighbors and want to feel special and want to feel like they're superior to anyone else, that is not for the glory of God. That is for their own self-glory. And of course, that makes the entire difference. And we can go on to the bigger picture. Someone can have great power and use that power for good, for bringing God's love into the world, for taking care of the most needy. Or that same power can be for self-grandiosity. It can be basically for the things that are not from God. So the same thing here and there in the smaller and in the big things of life, the blessings can be used to glorify God or to not. And woe unto us of those things that we are not using to glorify God. Even in the smallest of things like our phones, is this access to technology something that is helping us to enrich ourselves in our spiritual life, in our knowledge, or is it something that is taking us away and distracting us so much that we forget to pray? Whatever example, whatever there is, we can always ask ourselves that question. But then also, of course, let's not forget the first part of the Beatitudes that Jesus gives us. Let's not just focus on the woes. Let us focus also on the blessings that he promises on those that are suffering, that are poor, that are being persecuted, that are going through any trial of life, which in some level, it's all of us at some times in our lives, but some people are just in situations in which it's chronic. And yet, we all know people that are in those situations in which the beatitude that he is saying comes alive. And it reminds us how real all this is when we have God and when we don't. We all know people in hospitals. We all know people living in dire situations. We all know people going through a very hard, tragic deaths in their families that at the same time are filled with this joy that only God can give, this peace, this strength, this fortitude that only God can give. That is the blessing that he promises us when no matter what circumstance in our life, we do it with him and we open ourselves to him. And that makes all of the difference in life. I'm not sure if I told you this story before, but you learn so much when you go to places where there is a lot of poverty and so on. And I used to go often. There's parishes here in New York that go often to places like the Dominican Republic and so on mission trips. And it's a very great thing. They spend the entire time on the mission, like preparing for it throughout the year. And then when it's time in the summer, there's like a group of people that come, like 30 parishioners and priests and so on, even seminarians come. And it's always a beautiful experience because it's, of course, one feels like one goes and gives help, which it's part of it, of course. But you always walk out realizing that you receive so much more love than we can possibly imagine, especially learning the examples of these people living the Beatitudes. And it's so amazing. And there are so many testimonies when one like starts to observe. And one that I always think about often is in this house that we went to, because we would spend our days going through the neighborhoods in these very poor neighborhoods and blessing their homes, asking if they needed anything. Many times they needed sacraments like anointing of the sick, and they were invited to places like we had a big mass every night with concerts and so on. And one day we went to this house that they told us to go to because there was this very, very, very sick young woman in her early 20s. Her name was Perla, I remember, and she was very sick, and so they asked me as a priest to go anoint her, which of course we went there. And when we anointed her, it was very tragic. The house was very poor, very orderly, very clean. But of course, they lived in a lot of poverty, and the poor young woman couldn't even she had to be on her stomach like all day long, and so she was so friendly and grateful for the visit and for the sacrament. But as we were in her room, all of a sudden, I heard like a kid in the next bed, which I hadn't noticed was there. He was asleep when I got there, and he wakes up, and I'm like, oh, and who's that baby? It was like a two-year-old. Turns out that it was her child, and she had the child, and then she got sick not too long after, and at that moment, she told me, my dream is that I never got to baptize him, because then I got sick, and I never really got around to it. So, we, of course, with the proper everything, we were able to find a way to come and baptize him some days later, which we did. And it was such a joyful moment and everything. We had a little party for him and everything. But the day that we first got there, the day that we were planning the whole thing, of course, we were welcomed also by the rest of the family, including this girl's mom, this young woman's mom. And they were all like the Beatitudes, filled with it. They had the poverty, they had sickness, they had so many problems going on. And yet, they were filled with God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were so grateful to have someone representing the church in their home. They were people that loved God no matter what. And I'll never forget this. As we were leaving and greeting our goodbyes and saying, we'll come back in a couple days for the baptism, this bird comes into the house. And so this like bird from like the, just comes in, you know, like sometimes birds will come in. And at that moment, our reaction, I was with some seminarians and so on, our reaction is like, oh no, the bird came into your house. Like, should we shoo the bird away? Should we like get a broomstick? Not to harm the bird, but to at least, you know, have the bird, you know, leave the house because, you know, now you have like a wild bird in your house flying around. And her response, which she didn't even like bat an eye and even notice that she said something so deep, was she said, oh, don't worry about it. The birds of the field, of the countryside, they know that this is a home of peace, that this is a peaceful home. So they feel very comfortable coming into this place and just feeling at home here. And at that moment, I just turned around and left, and like, because it was, we were greeting, but I was thinking, what, how beautiful that was. Because this woman, no one can ever blame her if she called her home, her little house, a place of poverty, a place of sickness, a place of darkness, a place in which God forgot, a place in which is almost like a place of punishment, a place that basically is a place that should become embittered if you are living in that predicament, which many of us would. But this lady, she says that her place, her home, her heart, her family is so peaceful despite all of these circumstances that the birds of the sky and the fields feel comfortable coming into her home. And that is the Beatitude Alive. That is what God wants for us. That whether we have our blessings in our lives or our crosses in our life, that we are with him. And then we are going to be truly blessed. And then and when we have the good things that he gives us in our life, we offer it for his glory, which is what it's meant to be. And therefore, we build his kingdom and help build his kingdom with that love in which the Beatitudes invite us to have. So let us be blessed. Let us look at so many people that we would not be able to handle, that live the Beatitudes and learn from them and be inspired by them. And let's take the woe and seriously and really ask ourselves, what is getting me away from God? What is actually glorifying God in our lives? And the beautiful thing is that whatever is, the more he will bless us with, in the sense that when we are his instruments of his will, he will keep us being his instruments. It's when we take it wrongly that we are always going to be in danger of taking everything that he allows in our life and ruining it instead of glorifying God in all things, as St. Ignatius teaches us. God bless you. And now let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now with faith, let us ask our Heavenly Father to help us with all of our needs.
For Pope Francis, for our shepherd, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For communities recovering from floods, fires, and other difficulties, that the Lord grant the residents serenity and hope. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For persons suffering physically, emotionally, or spiritually, that we recognize Jesus in them, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you have sent us Jesus to teach us the ways of your kingdom. We ask you that you always help us to give glory to you in all the things of our lives and in our crosses and in our blessings. We ask you to help us with this and with all of our needs, which we present to you each day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Sisters, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. May this oblation, O Lord, we pray, cleanse and renew us, and may it become for those who do your will the source of eternal reward through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you laid the foundation of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed man in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder, to rule in your name over all you have made, and forever praise you in your mighty works through Christ our Lord. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Timothy, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, Saint Patrick, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Pater Noster, qui es in celis, sanctificet
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
We are to bless you.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us
offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, number 593 in the hymnal, number 593, Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all.
Let us pray. Having fed upon these heavenly delights, we pray, O Lord, that we may always long for that food by which we truly live, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go in peace. The Mass is ended.
Please join in singing our recessional hymn, number 525 in the hymnal, number 525, for the fruits of his creation.